Every now and again, I get an email advertising an essential time management course that I should attend in either Birmingham or Manchester. And I take great pleasure in deleting it and thinking about all the time I've saved in not going. I have been on a few of those courses. But life is really busy, isn't it, for most of us? And being busy is neither good or bad in itself. The question is, are we engaged wisely? Are we engaged positively and joyfully? Are we rightly busy in the right things, or are we over busy and rushing and resentful? What sort of busy is it? Now, of course, we all live in the real world, and there are always times of particular stress and busyness that will come upon us. We can't control all the sort of world around us for our own comfort. You know, if your next door neighbor's ceiling falls in or something and they come to stay, well, then you're going to have to get beds ready, you're going to have to buy the food, you're going to listen to their distress. That's going to make you busy. You know, to say, well, I'm really not going to be busy and I'm going to control my life is not spiritual, that's selfish, because they need you. And we live in a painful and a hurting world, and Jesus didn't tell us to live in a sort of bubble of control around ourselves to keep our lives comfortable. He told us to take up our crosses, to pour out our lives for the world. And there's a lot to do, isn't there? It's a needy world. We were talking in our home group this week about sayings of Jesus that we find hard to receive and hard to do. I don't know, some of you probably else all talking in your home group on the same question. Mine was Matthew 28, verse 19. So go and make followers of all people in all the world. I find that a bit of a big one. I don't know about you. You see, because I'm a sort of completer. I like things sorted out and completed. I like to draw a line around things and then colour it in and say, that's done. You know, all the people in all the world, you know, that gives me a bit of stress. But fortunately, Jesus goes on and he adds, I will be with you always. And of course, that's the key, that he is with us in our lives. That's what we need to listen to. We need to work from the right place, because Jesus will help us in that. You see, there are three options for the way that your life is governed. You can be governed by circumstances and the agendas of people around you. A bit like a sort of small boat that's sort of lost its moorings and is just floating around on the sea. Maybe it's floating aimlessly on the sea, or maybe it's even smashing against the rocks with no direction. That's what happens if we allow circumstances and those around us to govern us in our lives. Or the second option is that we might govern ourselves. And, you know, we would tend to do that for our own comfort, wouldn't we? We like to control things around us and live in our own bubble. It might be a bubble of comfort or a bubble of selfishness. Or sometimes it's a bubble that is based around pursuing our own success or our own importance or our own agenda. So you've got two things there. The first thing is that you're governed by circumstances that come in around you. The second is that you're governed by taking control and bolting down your life and doing what you want in your life. Or the third way is to be governed by God and his purpose for your life. 3 weeks ago, Will talked about listen to the Spirit. And he said that we breathe in first, the Holy Spirit, in order to be able to breathe out our lives in service and love. We breathe in the Spirit in order that we can breathe out in the way that we live. And last week, Roger talked about learning Christ. We read from the Gospels, we read deeply and engage deeply with the stories of Jesus. We see his values, we see his life, we see the way that he related to people. You see, Jesus was massively pressured in his ministry. The circumstances around him were just enormous. He only had 3 years to reach and to do his mission. And Jesus didn't float around, you know, in his sort of white cloak. He didn't float around serenely, unaffected by the people around him. Of course he didn't. He was a human being just like us. He had the same pressures that we had. But what made the difference was that he got up early in the morning before daybreak and he went and sought his Father in prayer. And despite all that went on, he breathed in the Holy Spirit each day, and that set his agenda. The Father set his agenda for the day. He was governed by the Father and by the Spirit. And so he went out and actually, with this realigned life, having spent time with God, he went out and lived really quite a radical life. Perhaps it's quite a different life to what he would have done if he was just doing it on his own. So he ate with unexpected people, with Pharisees and with outcasts and with the rich and with the poor. And he invested time in the disciples. And he made sure he did that amongst all the pressures that there were around. Over the last few weeks, interspersed between our five missional habits talks, we've been looking at the Trinity, haven't we? We've looked at the Father, and Tessa helped her massively as we did that. We looked at the Son, and now today we're looking at the Holy Spirit. So I want to make time today for us to breathe in order that we're moving from the right place in order to breathe out. And of course, I could chunter on for hours about this, as you could probably imagine that. But this time, this morning, I'm just going to talk for a few minutes, and we're going to spend some time really just breathing in. So just some quick bullet points now, so that we know what we're doing. And then I'll invite the Spirit to come. So what do we need to know about the Spirit? Well, in one sense, the Holy Spirit is all a bit mysterious, isn't he? Does feel a bit mysterious. You know, most of us can grasp the idea of the loving Father in heaven. We can grasp the idea of the Son who came and who saved us by dying on the cross, was resurrected and ascended into heaven. But the Spirit, well, we don't know much about him. You might even be thinking, well, why do we need the Spirit? You know, we've got the Father, we understand the Father's love, we've got the Son, he died for us. You know, why do we need the Spirit? Well, you see, the Father is in heaven, and Jesus has ascended to heaven, so he's in heaven too. So the only way that we can experience them is through the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit seems mysterious, because he doesn't speak of himself, he speaks of the Father and the Son. And we can't know the Father or the Son and experience them in our lives or really know anything of God without the Holy Spirit speaking, mediating them to us. And he's the same as them. And that's why we don't know anything else about the Spirit, because he's the same as them. He's God. And he's a he, not an it. That's really important. He's a person. And so we do need to experience the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because he's the conduit for understanding God. So how do we experience the Spirit? Well, I bought you a little visual aid this morning. This is my car sponge, and this is my leather. Now, they're very dry because I never wash my car. And so I keep these in the garage for this illustration only. So when we invite the Spirit, we wait, and there's often a long period of silence, and you might be wondering, you know, if the service leader has dropped off, or, you know, something's not happening, or the microphone's not working. It's not. We're waiting for something. And what we're waiting is for the Spirit to penetrate us, because we're a bit like this sponge, and most of us come, we've had a stressful week, we come here, and we need God, but actually we've got quite sort of hard and quite sort of dry, like this sponge. And when you put this sponge in the bucket, it stays sort of hard for quite a long time. The water doesn't sort of make it soft for a long time, especially with a leather. If you've ever tried to dry your car with a leather, you have to make it wet first, otherwise it doesn't take up any moisture. And so that's what we're doing as we wait. And so to begin with, you may not feel anything. Well, just stay with it. You don't have to do anything. It's God that's going to do it. So you can relax. And you can just enjoy the peace. And after a while, God will begin to sort of fill us. And in fact, this sponge, when I put it in my bucket, and you know, it's there for quite a long time, and then it's full of water, when I pull it out, The amount of water in it's just amazing. It just pours out all over the place. And, you know, I can wring it out and there's just gallons of water comes up. And that's what we want, you see, because what we're meant to do, this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, is not just for us, not just to fill the sponge, but it's to be pulled out into the world, and we're to overflow into the world with the Spirit that God has given us in acts of love and service. It's the same as the breathing in and the breathing out. As we put the sponge in the bucket, it's filled, and then we are filled with water in order to overflow God's love. So that's worth hanging in there for, isn't it? That's worth taking some time about. And God touches us all in different ways and at different times as well. What should we expect? Well, he speaks to our minds, first of all. He brings things to our minds. So you may sense a picture or an impression of something. And it may be very fleeting. So don't say, oh, that's just a thought. Hang with it. Pray into it. Just let it develop in your mind, the picture. Some people have very visual pictures. And if you're a visual person, that's natural. Other people have word pictures or just thought pictures. So they can come in different ways. Or you may have a particular word, or you might have a that comes to you, or a particular verse from the Bible that you know. Or it might be that you are aware of someone else and their need. The Bible says, Jesus says in John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So God speaks to our minds. And he speaks to our emotions as well. You may feel some emotion as we pray. And you may be aware of other people feeling emotion or crying or laughing or whatever. And that's our emotions. We own those. They belong to us. But it's the Holy Spirit that is functioning and bringing about those emotions in us. And that is fine. That's good. You know, if that didn't happen, we wouldn't be acting as human beings and God wouldn't be real. So we need emotion as well. So our minds and our emotions. Paul says this, St. Paul, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." God speaks to us right in the depths of our hearts sometimes. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit speaks to our wills. So he may bring us to repentance. He might bring something to mind that we need to confess. He might bring to mind a new direction that we might need to follow. Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." And that's what we want, isn't it? That's where we started. We want the Holy Spirit to govern us. Not circumstances, not ourselves, but the Spirit to govern us. So what we're going to do now is we're going to stand up in a minute and we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the ministry team if you could make sure that you're sort of around the edges or at least places where you can get out so that you can just come, and if the Spirit's on people, you might just want to pray for people. And Alex is going to come and join me as well. And then we've all got our L plates on here. So that's really good. We're learning and we're just going to spend really extended time just in quiet. And you'll find that the Spirit will touch certain people. If the Spirit isn't touching you today, that's fine. It's not a failure. No, it's just that God doesn't touch everybody every week all the time. He touches particular people. So you might just look around and see there might be somebody else after about 10 minutes or so that you could pray for. But we'll sort of guide you through that. So like the sponge, we're going to have quite a long time of quiet. So let's stand together and we're going to pray.